It has stood the test of time. God's book, the Bible, still relevant in today's complex world. It is written, sharing messages of hope around the world.
Dear friends, thank you so much for choosing to watch It Is Written. You know, one compromise that has been suggested between creationism and Darwinism is something called theistic evolution. So here's a question, why not compromise? It would seem to make sense to try to merge science and the Bible. Doesn't it make sense? Wouldn't it just help us pastors and scientists to just get along nicely and compromise? You know, to help answer these questions and sort this all out, I'm joined by Dr. Tim Standish. Dr. Standish, thank you for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me again.
You know, Dr. Standish, we've talked about in previous shows where you're from and what you do, but you are the senior scientist for the Geoscience Research Institute. And so maybe just briefly tell us, what does the Geoscience Research Institute do?
Well, the Geoscience Research Institute is an institute. It's located, it's in a building in Southern California. But we are a group of scholars who are interested in the interface between science and faith. What kind of compromises might be possible as we seek harmony between these two different ways of knowing in our lives? What's the correct way of viewing them? And so that's sort of the mission that we have in seeking. But we travel all over the world. I mean, now I'm in Canada.
Yes.
A few weeks ago I was in England.
Wonderful.
I teach classes in Africa and also in Asia at various universities. So we teach classes. We also maintain active research programs. Sometimes we get very tired.
I would imagine. It sounds like you are doing quite a bit. And in fact, you have a website that is full of resources where people can look at some of the research you're doing and some of the different events that are happening around the world. Where might someone find that information?
Well, that's at grisda.org. So grisda.org.
All right.
Is the URL for it.
So, Dr. Standish, it sounds like you might be the perfect individual here to have this discussion. And we've had a number of previous discussions on the issue of origins. And if you have happened to miss any of our shows on origins, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/IIW Canada. And there you can find a number of conversations that Dr. Standish and I have had together. But Dr. Standish, we have the biblical account of origins. We have Darwinian evolution. Why not just marry those together? Why can we just not compromise and marry those two together?
Well, there are very good reasons not to. And I would put it this way. Really, what's going on in much of this discussion has to do with simply a wrong understanding of what the questions are. Frequently we talk about creation versus evolution.
Yes.
And we think about things in those terms. So we're looking for a compromise between creationism, which is a belief.
Yes.
And evolution, which is science. And under those circumstances, who's not going to go with science? Because, you know, somebody's beliefs should be influenced. You know, this is sort of the way that people think about these things commonly. Or alternatively, they say, well, we reject science and we're going with faith. Really, when we're talking about these issues, we're talking about creationism and Darwinism, two belief systems, two beliefs. So it's that way you are comparing apples with apples.
Yes.
As opposed to apples with with oranges.
Yes.
Evolution, in fact, can be scientific. It depends very much on your definitions and so on. Doesn't mean that it's right to be scientific. Whereas Darwinism is a philosophical, it's a religious system, basically. Now, when you have two very different religious systems, you don't get compromise between them that is going to make believers on either side particularly happy.
Yes.
Now, theistic evolution is basically the idea that God used the process of Darwinian evolution to produce the organisms that we see around us and particularly human beings.
And so just to kind of put it in some of the terms that you and I have used previously, and you threw out a term there real quick. So theistic evolution is kind of the attempt, in simplicity's sake, of marrying two belief systems of creationism and Darwinism and outcomes theistic evolution. And we've used these terms plan and planner, design, designer. And so theistic evolution says there is a designer that has set forth a plan, but that plan is
achieved through this Darwinian mechanism. Now, I want to be careful about it.
Okay, please.
Because in reality, when you're discussing these things with people who are advocates of some of these positions, what you find out is that getting a nice general definition is very hard to do.
Yes.
Sometimes it reminds me of The Sound of Music. You know, how do you solve a problem like Maria? You know, how do you catch a cloud and pin it down? Trying to pin down the exact meaning can be quite difficult in conversations. So it's important, if we are talking about these things with specific individuals, that we understand what it is they actually do believe. Because we might argue something that's completely irrelevant.
Yes.
To their belief system. So it is a little bit of a catch-all thing, but definitely you have God involved and the process of Darwinian evolution. Those two things are pretty much core to theistic evolution.
Now, and I'm going to ask you an odd question because some people might say I'm advocating theistic evolution, but is there evidence that actually supports the idea of theistic evolution?
It depends on who you ask, but seeing as you're asking me,
yes,
my answer is no. And this is possibly the most profound problem that I have with theistic evolution. It is not biblical, and it certainly isn't scientific. So why would anyone go with it? It's kind of a from in my mind, one of those compromises that doesn't work for anybody. And yet, for some reason or other, it is still reasonably popular. Now, that may be because some people have figured out a way of formulating things that kind of works for them. But from my personal perspective, I don't see the evidence from either source, science or the Bible, to really justify this strange belief.
So let's unpack that just a little bit, and then we're going to get into, because there's actually a very major religious figure that talks about evolution, and we want to talk a little bit about that. But let me just unpack that slightly. And again, we've done a lot of shows that would help someone understand why you've just said what you've said, but maybe just to unpack it slightly. You said that theistic evolution is neither biblical nor is it scientific. So let's take those one at a time. Why would you say theistic evolution, first and foremost, is not scientific?
Because it invokes a God, but a God who commonly his action is not detectable in some way. It's a very common aspect of theistic evolution or belief in theistic evolution, that the actions of God cannot be detected in his creation. So while he may be active, sometimes people say, well, it's in the quantum uncertainty that we have with atoms or something like that. There, God kind of hides himself. Well, if God's divine action is not observable, science is about observation. So how can this have anything to do with science? It makes about as much sense to me as invoking a fairy every now and again to explain things, but the fairy can do nothing.
Now, you also then said it is also not biblical. And again, someone can go and watch our shows and see thoroughly why that is. But again, in simplicity, why would you say theistic evolution is not biblical? Well, or does not fit with biblical Christianity? Maybe
this is actually really big. First of all, we obviously have the creation account in Scripture that is reiterated multiple times. Jesus Christ himself talks about Adam, the first man.
Yes.
And, you know, marriage between the first man and the first woman. There's not a difference in the New Testament or Old Testament when it comes to the creation. It's very specific that God acted in a certain way, and he is the cause of all things. In fact, if you look at the Bible, it consistently says that the reason to worship God is because he's the creator, not because he's the being who steps back and just lets things unfold.
Yes.
He is an active God. There is divine action.
Yes.
Now, there are profound theological issues that theistic evolution raises. And for me as a Christian, probably the most important of those has to do with Jesus Christ. What exactly was Jesus doing on the cross?
Yes.
Well, the Bible lays it out. He is dying for my sins. God, our Creator, valued us so much that he was willing to come down, become part of our creation, and experience the death that we deserve to win us.
Yes.
In my place. Well, in the biblical creation account, God created things very good.
Yes.
And then human beings chose a different plan.
Yes.
Now, the result of that different plan was precisely what God had said it would be: death.
Yes.
So death enters the creation as a result of sin.
Yes.
When we depart from the life giver, then life just isn't going to last forever.
That is.
Now, how does Jesus' death on the cross to save me from that ultimate death, how does that make sense if there was death before sin?
Mm-hmm.
And yet death is central, an essential component of the Darwinian mechanism. You have to be able to get rid of the weak and the old and the, you know, and the strong, the fit are the ones that survive and pass on their genetic information to new generations. So organisms have to go extinct, and death has to have occurred. And if you look at the Darwinian account of things, then you know, you and I are the product of literally millions, possibly billions of organisms, possibly trillions of organisms,
yes,
dying before we reach this kind of point in evolutionary history where we exist.
Now, this is a profound thing. So kind of summarizing some of the things you said, first issue why this is not biblical is, number one, the biblical account of creation either is or it is not. We either take it for what it is or we have to throw it out. And if we throw it out, there are implications of that. And we've dealt in the It Is Written program, we've dealt with the reliability of the Bible and its history. Number two is the issue of death and sin. You know, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Yeah. And so a fundamental problem with theistic evolution is going to be you have death entering before sin, which would make the evolutionary processes impossible because it requires death. And thirdly, which you were alluding to, is I would say almost an ethical implication, and that is the Bible says that God is love, that God wants to impart life, yet he would be using a process that demands death to get to an eventual creation.
Why? If God is all-powerful, why would he possibly choose a mechanism that involves just slaughter on an unimaginable scale to produce his creation? Right. How can God be love and choose that? The funny thing about theistic evolution is that sometimes people have seen it as a way of distancing God from the problem of evil. If God kind of let this mechanism kind of work things out, and he was sort of stepped back and just let it happen, somehow or other the thinking is, well, he's not fully responsible then for the evil, the suffering and death that we see in nature. But, in my opinion, it just turns him into something awful.
Yes.
He has the power to do anything, but he chooses to let death and suffering be the engine for producing the organisms that he wants in the end.
And you used, I think, a profound word that we can kind of gloss over, but I want to just pause there for a minute. You said he chooses, because Psalm 33, verses 6 to 9, but in particular, verse 9, it speaks of the creation and it says, God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And you use that word choose. Clearly, the Bible says God has the power to speak things into existence. But if theistic evolution were true, it would mean that God chose to use a process that required death, which doesn't make any sense because in the book of 1 Corinthians, it calls death the enemy. Yeah. The book of Revelation says that God will one day put to death death, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, Dr. Standish, we could spend a lot of time. This is an area that actually I feel a great deal that we need to spend some time on. But I do want to spend just a few moments. One of the world's major, and in fact, some would argue, the world's most major religious figure, is the Pope.
Yes.
And some people say that the Pope supports evolution. Now, I want to ask you the question, is that true? And if it is true, how does he reconcile this issue of death before sin?
I have not had a conversation with the Pope.
Okay.
So I want to be careful here. I can only look at his public statements.
Yes.
About these things. And I would say that, the Pope speaks very carefully much of the time. So recently, for example, I read a speech, the text of a speech that he gave to the Pontifical Academy.
Yes.
Where he did mention some things about the origins thing. In my opinion, those statements were actually taken a little bit out of context. Now, sometimes people use words in multiple ways and you can sort of go all over the place with that. But my observation has been that the Catholic Church maintains a position where either believers can believe in the biblical creation. And in fact, there is at least one Catholic organization that I know of that's official and so on, that supports the biblical six-day creation within thousands of years rather than millions or billions of years. So that position does exist in the Catholic Church. But in addition to that, we see that the Catholic Church allows belief in something like theistic evolution.
Okay.
And so the question is, how can the Catholics who have crucifixes, everywhere to remind us of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to their credit, I think, that is obviously a central a component of all Christian faith. How can they reconcile the problem of death before sin with Jesus dying on the cross? How can that demonstrate God's grace and love and achieve the objective of saving us, ourselves,
yes,
from death? To do it, you have to understand that the Catholic Church, like many other Christian churches, embraces the idea of an immortal soul. And this is really brought together in quite an elegant way in an encyclical that was written by Pope Pius XII.
Okay.
Back in 1950.
Okay.
I have a quote from it here. It's a little bit convoluted. This is very careful language. It's almost like a legal document. But let me read it to you.
Okay.
The teaching authority of the Church, this is the Catholic Church, remember, this is the Pope, basically, who's writing, does not forbid that, in conformity with the present state of human sciences and sacred theology, research and discussions on the part of men experienced in both fields take place with regard to the doctrine of evolution, in as far as it inquires into the origin of the human body as coming from pre-existing and living matter. So he's saying it's fine for Catholics to believe that the human body came from pre-existing matter or whatever. We can explore that. He's not taking a position. He's just saying we can explore that. And then he sort of tells why. For the Catholic faith obliges us to hold that souls are immediately created by God. So the idea is this. All of that death that you see in the fossil record, okay, that evolutionists believe is showing the evolutionary trajectory unfolding. In fact, it doesn't. But that all of that death is different from the death that you get when God comes and puts an immortal soul into a human. And they become a human being at that particular point. So God uses the process of evolution then, in this particular scheme, to produce the human body. But there is no soul there. God puts the immortal soul in, and then death is a completely different thing. See, death before God did that was just the body wearing out and dying or being killed or whatever. After God put the soul in, death is a separation of body and soul. And that's the death, you see, in this way of thinking, that Jesus was addressing on the cross.
And this is, and we could spend, in fact, we spent a whole series of shows. And to our viewer, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/IIW Canada. Watch our series, Is Heaven for Real? And there we talk about this, but this is far-reaching implications because the Bible is quite clear that man was made of the dust of the ground. God breathed into him the breath of life, and then he became a living soul. He does not have an immortal soul, but is a living soul. Paul, writing to Timothy, is very clear, only God is immortal. And so this issue of origins is far-reaching because it actually goes right to the very core of the essence of what and who a human being is in God's eyes.
It touches right on many other doctrines of the Christian faith.
Yes.
If we change the issue, our understanding of origins, then all of a sudden, if we're going to remain Christians, we have to have something like this separate body and soul idea, something like an immortal soul. And then we have the problem of what do you do with the individuals who choose to reject God's love and grace? And all of a sudden you've got things like an eternal burning hell because they're eternally punished. And it really has huge knock-on effects in many other areas. I personally prefer the actual biblical view of things. It's much, much more attractive, and it makes an awful lot more sense. God is a God of love. Horrifyingly, those who reject him cannot live. But when they die, they're not put into some sort of eternal punishment.
No.
God, in his mercy, saves all who come to him.
Absolutely.
Those who separate themselves from the only life-giving power in the universe will die, but that means that they will cease to exist.
Yes. And you know, Dr. Standish, we are completely out of time, but it is very clear that a compromise of theistic evolution actually brings upon Christianity a greater threat than simple Darwinian evolution because it compromises the faith. Dr. Standish, thank you so much for joining us. Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the creator and we can believe that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear friend, would you like to know more about this creator who holds you in such high esteem that he died for you? I want to offer you the DVD series, Is Heaven for Real? Here's the information you need to receive today's offer.
To request today's offer, just log on to www.itiswrittencanada.ca. That's www.itiswrittencanada.ca and select the TV program tab. For Canadian viewers, the offer will be sent free and postage paid. For viewers outside of Canada, shipping charges will apply. If you prefer, you may call toll-free at 1-888-CALL-IIW. That's 1-888-CALL-IIW. Call anytime. Lines are open 24 hours daily. That's 1-888-CALL-IIW. Or if you wish, you may write to us at It Is Written, Box 2010, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. That's It Is Written, Box 2010, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4.
Dr. Standish, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Friend, thank you for watching. I invite you to join us again next week. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.